If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment.
Greetings in the divine loving presence of the one divine source. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is, you are the conduit through which the divine source enters this world. Plus a Q&A with Sai Baba on awakening to reality and self-realization. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and ask for the clearance that you could receive and host that degree of light and realization that is meant for you this evening at this time. Take another deep breath and visualize a clear conduit, a clear channel, column of light from the very highest positive realms of divine source all the way through all of your chakras, entering the crown and flooding your body and pushing it all the way down through your feet. Bring the energy up again. And flood all of the levels of your consciousness, all of your subtle bodies, all the way up to the monad, the I Am presence. And now allow the anointing of that presence to fall upon you like a mantle of light. Wrap yourself. Clothe yourself with your own divinity. And you may feel hot, tingles, chills up your spine. The body may start to rock back and forth. The Holy Spirit always announces its presence through the electromagnetic field. Although it is pure, positive energy beyond the field of electromagnetism, when it enters the electromagnetic field of the physical biosphere, there is always a sensation, a definite feeling that you will have. So take note of that. That lets you know when you're connected. You may also see light if your eyes are closed. Those of you that are practiced deriving the sound current inwardly will hear the divine sound current. That is really what is rocking your body back and forth, is the divine light and sound currents, which you are a direct embodiment of, a direct conduit with a living light, living love, and living word of divine source. So the Course of Miracles has a very beautiful lesson which reads like this: God is the light by which I see, and vision is his gift. So the sacred geometric symbol for light and for the eye is identical. God is light, and the eyes are portals through which you can enter the divine presence of that immortal, eternal light. The eyes are also dispensing that divine light to the gaze when you are attuned to the reality. That divine gaze has been called in the tradition of the spiritual travelers the Tiwaja or Twaji. And it is when the divine gazes at you through the eyes. That gaze can absolutely transform you when it comes from a God-realized being like Sai Baba, for example, or Jesus the Christ, or any one of the great avatars or God-realized masters that have walked this earth. That's why people go to so much difficulty and expense to travel and make pilgrimages to places where there is a person who is God-realized. For that gaze, later on, I believe, will leave an effect even down into your DNA, even down into your hair samples, even down into every drop of blood. There is a precipitation of the gaze, even of an ordinary person, that leaves a sediment upon that which is gazed upon. So if you have the gaze of a pure-sighted being, that's going to leave an indelible imprint on your whole being. You will never be the same. That gaze can heal, it can restore, it can resurrect the dead, it can grant liberation. There is nothing that the gaze of the divine cannot do. So your eyes are direct dimensional portals to divine source, and to infinity. And divine source and infinity also enters this world through your eyes. Your consciousness is a conduit, a channel of that which is seeking entrance here, namely divine source energy, awareness, divine love, bliss, transformation. So everyone is a conduit of consciousness and energy. The type depends upon the person and how clear a conduit they offer. You have heard me speak of Bratzo, that precious man who is such a pure, clear conduit, who can stand and gaze at you in complete silence for about 7 minutes per gaze, and everything can change in that person's life. The testimonies of every possible disease has been brought forward and shared. And so the gaze has that ability to stir and awaken that which is lying as a dormant or latent potential. That gaze activates and quickens and stirs and calls forward the divine. So everyone is an importer, a conveyor of that which exists beyond this world and dimension. So have you ever thought of yourself as a divine portal? Has one designed and meant to allow heaven's entrance here? Did you ever consider that the only means source energy has of entering this dimension is through the human instrument? Mankind was given stewardship over the earth and all upon it. Mankind was given the task of naming creation. So earth is our garden to tend. And whenever love, peace, and divine order enters our world, it must do so through a cleansed and clear conduit. What causes a blocking and a muddying of the waters of that conduit is simply identification with the body and the separated ego mind, which can be considered like dark clouds before the radiance of your divine presence. So let's pause and consider the fact that right now, God is looking through your eyes. God is listening through your ears. God is experiencing through your senses, through your loving, through your heart. Moreover, God is working through your hands, walking through your feet, and causing all of your physical organs to function and operate at all of your spiritual progression and realizations to take place. God is your life force and strength. God is your creative intelligence, your willpower, cognition, and awareness. God is your intentionality, your motivation, your conscience, and conscious awareness. God is your totality through and through, of body, mind, soul, spirit. God is the living presence of everything that exists, imprinted in totality upon every cell of your body. Everything that ever existed, that ever will exist, is imprinted in every cell of your body. You are a walking microcosm of the macrocosm. God is all that exists forever and always. You are God, in process of realizing your godhood throughout this and every dimension and plane of existence. Yes, including here on Earth, in your physical body. Pause and consider these things, for they are the truth. You are the one divine self operating through all these countless forms. Every cell in your body contains your perfect holographic image. When you look and see those many people outside seemingly different than yourself, those are your incarnations. Everything you see in another is in yourself. That's why you can see it in another. All the faults you see in another, you have in yourself. And all the beauty and divinity and holiness that you see in another, you see through your own wholeness, holiness, and divinity. Know that there is nothing that is not yourself. All are your countless forms, portraying every manifestation of consciousness. There is none else but yourself, the one self That is all that is. Contemplate this as absolute fact. I am that I am. I am the one without a second. I am divine, indistinguishable from God. The world teacher has given a universal prayer for your own self-realization and suggests that you say it and contemplate it and accept it as your reality. That as you keep affirming the truth, it will gradually begin to transform the mind, which has convinced you that you're none of these things. So this is where you step out in faith and you speak out and declare in faith in obedience to the one who knows and is here to assist you in that awakening. And the universal prayer is this. You can say it as I pause after each line, if you like. I am the creator of the universe. I am the father and mother of the universe. Everything came from me. Everything shall return to me. Mind, body, spirit are my temples for the self to realize in them my supreme being and becoming. You feel the heat come in with the anointing of that? It's transforming yourself, your mind, your consciousness. And Sai Baba instructs us to, every morning, make this simple declaration. I am God. I am no different than God. I am the indivisible, supreme, absolute. I am being, awareness, bliss, Sat-Chit-Ananda. I am ever content and free. Fear and grief can never enter me. So self and God realization is simply your awakening to the truth of these statements. Every single person will awaken to the same one divine self that each is an embodiment of, whether that's expressing or yet to be expressed in time-space. Within the eternal now, everyone is equally that and only that. That means that this truth alone needs to be contemplated. You are divine. You remain divine forever and always. Nothing can alter nor affect the truth of your divinity. You have never left your divine home. You can never be separated, nor can you ever cease to exist. You are not a false self. You are not ego. You are not broken nor damaged. There is nothing you need to fix about yourself or the world. You are ever whole and holy. That is the truth. By contemplating truth, you will realize truth, and all will be light within and without, for God is light. The first time I had a direct experience of that, And that realization of light, that vision of light, is called Atma Darshana, the vision of the divine, or the vision of the Supreme Self. And I was in California attending a Sai Baba family retreat. And this is about 1974, I believe. I think I had just met, I just had my first trip to Sai Baba of 4 months' duration. And I was sitting in the auditorium with the other devotees, and we were chanting 108 repetitions of the powerful Gayatri Mantra, which is an evocation of the divine light of the Supreme Self, and asking it to illumine the mind. There was a portrait of Sai Baba on an easel in front of me, a photograph. I was sitting in the front row, and I was gazing intently into the eyes of Sai Baba as I was chanting the Gayatri Mantra 108 times. When towards the end of the 108 repetitions, suddenly the entire room became a field of light. There were no forms at all. There was only golden light. Only golden light. And the only thing that was visible other than the golden light were Sai Baba's two brown eyes and the golden light. And I had a direct experience that God is light, and the only thing that exists is divine light. And, of course, divine sound. But I had that direct experience, and never again could I actually believe in the solidity of life. I just, from that point on, knew for a fact that God is light. So if you want to learn the Gayatri Mantra, there is a YouTube of Sai Baba chanting the Gayatri 108 times, and I would suggest that you learn it directly from him, because it's very important that you pronounce it correctly. So now we're going to have a Q&A with Sai Baba on what we've just been discussing. And this is from his book, The Teachings of Satya Sai Baba. How can we attain the vision of the self? The self is self-luminous. It shines by itself. No other light is required to recognize the shining light. There is therefore no need for any special spiritual practice to realize the self. The body consciousness of man hides the self, like the clouds, which are caused by the sun, hiding the sun itself. We have just to recognize the I in us. The I in us is called the Atma, or the self, or Brahma, or I am, or the Sacred Heart. Why is the world so full of divisions and squabbles? The world is full of divisions and squabbles because human qualities are on the decline in today's world. Man has forgotten the divinity in himself and others. Selfishness and self-interest arising out of body consciousness give rise to these attachments and hatreds. The mind is responsible for the false identification of ourselves with the body. When the I, or aham, or I am, is entangled with the mind, it becomes ego, ahamkara. I, freed from the mind, is bliss itself. It enables us to recognize the unity of all existence. What is wrong with the spiritual practice that people undertake today? The sadhanas, spiritual practices, that we do are done at the mental level for mental satisfaction, and these are illusions of the mind. To remove the non-self is to know the self. Real spiritual practice is to establish oneself in the self, or the Atma, forgetting the non-self. All other practices are just mental illusions. Mood making, I often call it. And in all of the practices we do, if you look at them, they're not really addressing self-realization. They're addressing the mind and the pleasure principles, or trying to remove stress, or taking one on a guided imagery, like a daydream. And Sai Baba has just said that all of those practices are mental illusions. I continue. What is the mind? The mind is a conglomeration of desires. Today, spiritual aspirants and devotees multiply their desires and do not try to reduce and eliminate them. Unless our desires are eliminated, we cannot attain self-realization. How can we transform the world? We can transform the world only if we transform ourselves as individuals. The world is nothing but a conglomeration of individuals. Individual transformation is therefore the basis of world transformation. Therefore, man should first eradicate the evil in himself and develop sacred qualities. How can we make that self shine in all of its perfection? The self will shine in all of its perfection when man becomes perfect. Man will become perfect when the following 16 aspects of the mind are eliminated. The 6 internal enemies of man are desire, anger, greed, attachment, pride, jealousy, or envy. The 8 kinds of pride are pride of money, learning, caste, station in life, affluence, beauty, youth, position or authority, and spiritual pride. Plus the 2 qualities of passion or agitation, and dullness or inertia. The self will shine in all its perfection in the absence of these 16 qualities of the mind. A true guru can bestow a state of perfection upon a disciple. However, God is the only true guru. Only God can confer the light of wisdom and remove all the darkness of ignorance. Only God transcends all the qualities and forms. What is the real mantra? Knowing oneself is the real mantra. Our respiration itself is the mantra of Soham, or I Am. So what then is the real spiritual practice? To develop self-confidence is the real sadhana. Each one has to put forth hard efforts with faith in God. If we put forth our efforts and lead our life as an offering to God, God will bestow all guidance and fulfillment. How should we rid ourselves of identification with the body and mind? We should always contemplate Aham Brahmasmi, or I Am God. Love this truth. Nothing can be achieved without love. Recognize the fact that you are divine and that the body is your instrument. Take part in all the activities of life with this feeling. What leads to rebirth? Actions done with body consciousness lead to rebirth and bondage. What leads to liberation? Actions done with divine consciousness will free you from bondage. It is weakness to think that you are human, and so that you could commit mistakes. Man should turn inward and recognize the truth. Man should not commit any mistakes. Everything comes only by practice. Develop faith and practice with enthusiasm and courage. Believe that you can achieve, and you will achieve, anything and everything. Do not denigrate yourself. What are Swami's, Sai Baba's, orders or injunctions that we should follow? Swami's orders or injunctions that we should follow are as follows. Do not misuse your tongue. Do not criticize or make fun of others. Chant and sing the names of God. Believe that God is in everyone. Do not find fault in anyone. Serve all and realize that the world is nothing but the form of God. Perform all actions as an offering to God with love. Involve yourself in acts of charity and service to humanity. Learn to sacrifice. Utilize the body for service and the mind for contemplation on God. Utilize your wealth for charity. Doing penance for individual gain is selfishness. Even your spiritual practices should be helpful to others. Pray and work for the welfare of all. When you have such a magnanimous heart, divinity will manifest itself spontaneously in you. Take a deep breath. Integrate. Open your mind. Open your heart. Don't try to understand. Just absorb. Just absorb. Another deep breath. Feel the top of your head just open. And see the whole internal portion of your body, like a clear, hollow flute. Let your life be like the flute in Lord Krishna's hands, allowing him to play whatever melody he would like through your life. Do not fret. Everything will come to you in the way that is best, in the way that will lead you by the fastest possible route home to the self that you've never left. That journey without distance. Happy. All is well. I'm going to sing you a little song that Sai Baba sang to us in the interview. And we can sing it using the statements again, applying them to ourselves. Love is my form, truth is my breath, bliss is my food. My life is my message, expansion is my life, season for love, no season for love, no birth, no death. Love is my form, truth is my breath, bliss is my food. And your life is your message, and expansion is your life. So we seek to broaden our understanding and open our minds beyond what we have been conditioned to accept. Because truly, we are entering the realm of absolute virginal innocence. It's said that the beginning of wisdom is the realization of how little one knows. And while when we begin on this spiritual path, we think we have all the answers, we've figured it out, we've done all the workshops, we've read all the books, we've gone to visit all the gurus, and we actually think we've realized the truth. I think we all go through that state. I know I did. And now, you know, all of a sudden I don't know anymore anything except I am. I am. I exist. And everything else is revealing itself in a newness. And in a way I would have never thought of or even realized could be possible. I think that's what Jesus was referring to when he said, we must enter the kingdom of heaven like a little child. Because you also find a new delight in just simply being alive. Once that inner light has been quickened, activated, even the simplest little things give you joy. But you don't feel like you have to own them and possess them and have them and, you know, secure them for yourself. You live light and easy and allow things to come and go freely. Because Sai Baba has said that not a leaf falls that is not his will. I know we can't understand that, can we? But Sai Baba is a full avatar, a full manifestation of every name and form of God that man has ever worshipped from the beginning of time. That's called a Sarva Dharma Swarupa, an all embodiment, a full embodiment of all names and forms and scriptures and approaches to God. And it is left to our own prerogative what we want to study, what we want to believe, which faith we may want to espouse. But Baba said that there is only one religion, the religion of love. There is only one race, the race of humanity. There is only one language, the language of the heart. There is only one God, and he is omnipresent. And so there's not a squabble between any of the masters or any of the God-realized saints. They all work from the understanding that all life is one. So the only squabbles and disagreements will arise between people who have not fully realized the self yet. And they're still in the mind. And the mind will always give rise to doubts, questioning, comparisons, and disputations as to who's right. Because the mind must be completely dissolved in higher awareness. When that light illumines the mind, when the Atma Darshana, the division of the divine, begins to fill and fill and fill and fill the mind, your eye, as Jesus put it, becomes single, and your whole body is filled with light. Now, esoterically, what that means is that the two eyes see a world of duality. Each eye sees slightly different, and they give a distorted interpretation of a world of many differences. But when the pineal and the pituitary began to speak to one another, so to speak, and their auras of radiance began to expand as you meditate, go in into yourself and inquire and contemplate these things, the two auras of the pineal and the pituitary began to form auras of light that began to touch and join. And in the sacred geometry, you would have the infinity symbol of the two overlapping circles, and then there would form a center circle, and that would be the third eye, or the Vesica Pisces, as it's called in sacred geometry. And it is entering that point in the center, the Vesica Pisces, formed by the two overlapping auric fields. That is the single eye that Jesus was speaking of. And when you're centered in that, your whole body is filled with light. You've put on Christ. You have become the Son of God, which you've always been. But now you know it. You're aware of it. And then when you take that sacred geometry and you point it upward, it forms a triangle, which is the meeting of the Trinity inside your mind, inside your head. And then you're able to ascend your consciousness beyond what is called in the Bible the world, the flesh, and the devil. The flesh is bodily identification. The devils are your own evil thoughts, thoughts of hatred and negativity towards your brothers and sisters or other beings. And the one irrevocable law in all of existence is, as you sow, so shall you reap. As you have done to another, you have done to the Christ or yourself. Same thing. So it's important to remember that the only thing that we will take with us beyond this world is the good that we've done and the evil that we've done. And we have to accept the consequences of that which we have sowed in thought, word, and deed. The Bible puts it this way: we will have to give an account before God for every thought, word, and deed. So when you go beyond the physical body and step into the next dimension beyond this physical plane, in your ongoing journey of soul, you have a life review in which everything is seen that you did, everything that you said, thought, did, imagined, the effect it had on the people around you. And you will understand with such a clarity the perfect justice of life, the perfect fairness. Because the only one that you have to face is that divine self that is your own self. Yes, you know, if you have a belief system, it will follow along with what you have been conditioned to believe. And so everyone goes to a heaven of their own making. Yes, some people even create a hell for themselves because they, in a sense, have judged themselves as worthy of suffering. There are many, many beings on the other side that try their best to get through to people to assist them with a crossing over before they land in those self-isolating states. But the best thing you can do when you cross over is to remember God. Because in the near-death experiences where people have landed up in hellacious areas in the inner planes, the minute they called out for Christ or Jesus or God, in that instant the Lord appeared to them and rescued them. So no matter what state of consciousness you're in, train yourself to call on the name of the Lord. The Lord doesn't particularly care what name you call out, as long as you have full faith that that to you represents the divine source. And you need to train yourself to remember the name of the Lord. They say if you want to know what God a person follows, go up to him at night and bang him on the toe with a hammer and see who he calls out for. Well, probably today you're going to hear a a rude expletive. But train yourself so that at a moment of shock, I have so trained myself that the minute anything happens, whether I'm in a deep sleep or I'm awake or, you know, any little thing that may come my way that looks like it's going to bring harm, like, you know, a car coming too close into the lane where I'm driving or whatever, automatically Sairam comes to my mind. Automatically, Sairam. One time I was driving with my friend and I was not quite as attentive as I usually am, and a car kind of came close into his realm, and he turned around and looked at me and said, "Om Sai Ram," expecting me to say Sai Ram. It's so cute. But, I've had that experience, you know, where we were in would have been fatal car crash, and I called out, Bhagavan, Satya Sai Baba. And an invisible hand came and literally put our car back on the road. And that was witnessed by the people who were driving behind us. We were headed right over the side of a cliff. And that was when we were on our way to see Sai Baba. We were driving in a private car. So train yourself to automatically call upon the name of the Lord, especially at the moment of your crossing from this world to the next. Train yourself that the first word you say in the morning when you wake up is the name of the Lord. You decide what that is for you. And the last word on your mouth before you go to sleep is the name of the Lord. And then instead of cursing, you know, when you bang your toe or something happens or you feel shocked, train yourself to repeat the name of the Lord. Om Saira, you know, or whatever. Jesus, Lord, or Lord have mercy, or whatever. You have to pick what works for your consciousness, because if you don't have full faith and confidence in the one you're calling upon, you don't have full love of that being. To have full love for anyone, you have to have faith and confidence. You have to trust them. You have to have confidence in them. And so, you know, that is what gets down into your subconscious mind. It gets down into your gut. It gets into your heart. It gets into every part of your being until you literally are living in the presence of God 24/7. Because what is hell? Hell is a self-isolation in which you do not believe there is a God, and you're not open to a relationship in any way, shape, or form with the divine. And so a person in that state creates an isolation of their own imposition on the inner realms. Eventually, something that they loved will get through that barrier and get to them and rescue them. But they could have set themselves free at any moment by calling upon the name of the Lord. So whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One of my favorite statements in the Bible. Whosoever, any state of life, any state of degradation, any state, any time, anywhere, the only one that ever judges you is you, yourself. And the only one that ever punishes you is you, yourself. No one else. We've been taught that God is wrathful and full of vengeance. And according to Sai Baba and the enlightened masters, that's simply not true. So you have to realize that all scriptures came through instruments and conduits that were more or less clear and more or less clouded by the mind and the indoctrination and conditioning of that mind. So bear that in mind so that you go and receive your teaching directly from a God-realized being, not from the commentaries of people that are trying to add commentary upon commentary on very simple truth statements. So that's why I shared with you the Q&A from the teachings of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And that way you have direct truth from a divine incarnation, which is called an avatar. Sai Baba clarified for me, as a Christian, so many of the teachings of Jesus I had wondered about. And when I read the Bible in his presence during the 4 months I was in the ashram, it came alive for me in a way that I couldn't possibly have ever imagined. And I did experience it as a living word. But it can also be read as a dead letter of the law, in which you hem yourself in with yet more self-indictment and more sense of being a sinner. And Sai Baba said the greatest mistake we can make is call ourselves a sinner, because we're actually calling the divine, that we are, a sinner. We're calling God a sinner. So that's an indoctrination that we are gradually going to be realizing as we proceed in our awakening process. We're going to the things that are not true, that don't resonate as blissful and freeing within us, will simply fall aside. So I hope this discourse this evening has been liberating, encouraging, and helpful to you. Remember, you are divine. And the only thing you ever need to forgive yourself for is forgetting that you are divine. That's a quote from my very enlightened and illumined teacher, John Roger. And I'm so grateful that I've been blessed in this lifetime with the teachings of Jesus and Sai Baba and John Roger, because truly, they are God-realized individuals and teachers. So let's go out chanting three Anai Hues. Deep breath. Anai Hues. Anai Hues. Anai Hues. Remember, you are divine. Blessings and grace to one and all. Namaste.